Hello there. Welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. Today is December the 15th. It's Tuesday. And the topic today, I'll tell you, we're going to base it on today's the gospel from today's daily mass. And I think it's the perfect message for the Advent season. It comes directly from Jesus, but it's one of the more unusual messages that I've presented. If you subscribe to my daily email reflection, "Let not your heart be troubled," and you opened it up already today, you know what I'm going to talk about, because I wrote about it. It's a reminder for those of us who can sometimes become disturbed by the behavior of other people, to the point where we look at them, we want them to change, and we get frustrated because of their lack of change, and we sometimes lose sight of our own need to change. Now, and I really hope you'll stick with me, because this is, I feel this is a sign of a source of frustration for many of us, and it's a real danger, it's a real trap. And during the Advent season, I think it's the perfect time to look at this in our own lives. Not only is it going to bring us greater peace, which it is, but addressing this is going to draw us closer to Christ, which is the purpose of Advent, right? So it accomplishes two things: greater peace and drawing us closer to the Lord, which is exactly what all of us are seeking, or at least we should be speaking. So seeking, that's what we're going to be talking about for the remainder of the program. I'm really glad to have you with me on this show as we continue to move toward the end of the Advent season. We've got a little less than 2 weeks left. We have this week and then next week, and then Christmas is on Friday of next week. So we still have plenty of time to make this the best Advent that we have ever had. Really, we do. And I plan to be here every day with you. At least that's my goal. God willing, I'm going to be here with you. We're going to get through this together, and we're going to continue to walk down this road. I just ask you to have a little patience with me, because when in my email today, I wrote, and I really mean this, when I heard this gospel at Mass today, and I was really drawn to what Jesus said, I knew that that's what I was supposed to be sharing, but it's not one of these be not afraid messages. It's not a feel-good message. You know, it's a, hey, pay attention now type message, which I would personally rather not share. They're not my favorite messages. Not just to not share them, but personally speaking, I don't like when Jesus makes it hard on me, when he starts challenging me. I mean, I know I need it, but I don't personally like it. You know what I'm saying, right? It doesn't feel good, but it's something that's necessary. And that's the beauty of having a personal relationship with Jesus, that he's not just going to tell you what you want to hear. He's going to tell you what you need to hear. And if we're being honest with him and open with him and trying to decrease so that he can increase in us during Advent, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing. If we're doing that and honest about it, then we're not going to flinch when he has to stretch us a little bit. At least in theory, that's the way it should work. So once I realized that this is not going to be a fun message, I cringed a little bit, but I understood that this is what I am supposed to be writing and speaking about today. And I'm also going to speak about this on the Sunrise Morning Show tomorrow, Wednesday at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. So if you get a chance, please tune in to EWTN Radio, and you can hear that message as well. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more. And when I get on that show, I do it each week with Matt Swaim. The interview, they tend to be very interesting, because Matt asks some really good questions. We don't script it out in advance, and we just let the Holy Spirit lead us. So if you want to hear a little more on this topic, tomorrow I will be discussing it on the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN Radio at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, okay? Let's pray, and then we'll get right into it. I don't want to keep you waiting anymore. Let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your power, Father, for your care, for your providential care for us. Thank you, Father, for creating us. Thank you for allowing us to be in a relationship with you. Thank you, Father, for letting us come to you and address you in prayer. Father, we ask you to strengthen us, to give us your grace, especially during this Advent season, so that we can draw closer to you through your Son, Jesus, so that we can better prepare to welcome him on Christmas Day, so that we can, through the work of the Holy Spirit, be transformed into the image of Jesus. Father, I ask you to pour out your Spirit on me today so that I can deliver the message that you would like to be delivered on this program. I ask you, Father, to open all of our minds and all of our hearts so that we will be receptive to what you have to say and willing to put it into action. Father, I ask these things in the most holy, in the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I thank you so much for praying with me. This is Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. If you want to find out more about the work that I do, you can visit my website, followingthetruth.com. Earlier in the show, I mentioned my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. If you are interested and you might want to sign up for it, please visit followingthetruth.com, sign your name. All you need to do is provide your email address. There is no cost. You're going to hear from me every day with a Bible verse and a brief reflection. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go for that. And you know, one other thing I want to mention, I haven't talked about it lately. If you are looking for a good Christmas present for someone, how about the gift of peace? I would recommend my latest book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. It's a Holy Spirit book. It's very easy to read. It's not overly complex, but I think there's a lot of good information in there. I mean, I know it's my book, but I wouldn't have written it if I didn't think that there was a message that I needed to share. The power of the Holy Spirit is transforming. The Holy Spirit can transform you into an image of Jesus. Yes, it's going to take a long time, but it's a gradual transformation. But at the same time, if you let the Holy Spirit work in your life, you're going to be more peaceful and more filled with joy. And then that'll radiate to other people, but you're going to experience it internally as well. So if you would like to find out more about the book, pick up a copy. Just go to followingthetruth.com and click on the book's image, and that'll take you right into Amazon, and you can order yourself a copy of the book. Or maybe for somebody who is really struggling, you know, anger, stress, people are really filled with that these days. So I really believe the book can help anybody who is struggling with anger or stress, or maybe somebody who just wants to get to know the Holy Spirit better. The Holy Spirit often gets pushed aside. We don't really give the Holy Spirit the credit that he deserves. I mean, we don't understand the power that we have with the Holy Spirit. And we're trying to be good Christians on our own without asking for the Spirit's help. Well, that's not the way that Jesus planned it. So if you're interested, you could find out more about the book by going to followingthetruth.com. Okay, that's it for the commercial. Now let's get to this gospel reading. I'm just going to go ahead and read it. This is from today's Daily Mass, which is Tuesday of the third week of Advent. It's from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. Matthew 21, 28 through 32. All right, you ready? Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people. He's talking to the leaders, right? The chief priests and the elders of the people, the religious leaders, the guys that were always after him. You know, these guys didn't give him a chance. They were pretty closed-minded. And they just wanted to bring Jesus down. They wanted to expose him as a fraud. They were threatened by him. Whatever the reason, they wanted to destroy him. So he was speaking directly to them. And they're not going to be pleased by this. But see, Jesus, when he needed to say something, he said it. And I think, like, we have to remember that too, because oftentimes what he says to us, we might not want to hear, or we might even get offended by it. Today's message might offend you, but I urge you to hang in there and just listen to what the Lord is saying. It really is good news. All right, so he's talking to the chief priest and the elders of the people. And Jesus said this, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' The son said in reply, 'I will not.' But afterwards, he changed his mind and he went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" Now, before I give you the answer, the situation, I think it's a pretty easy story to understand. Jesus is telling about a man who had two sons. He goes to the first, says, "Son, go out and work in the vineyard today." And the son said in reply, "I will not." So as far as we know, it's not just like he was blowing off steam. He really refused, but then he changed his mind. So initially his words said, "I'm not going to do this." But then for whatever reason, for maybe guilty conscience, realizing that he should do this, he should help his father, he changed his mind and he went. The man went to the other son. He gave the same order, "Go work out in the vineyard." And the son said, "Yes, sir." Not just yes, but yes, sir. But he didn't go. And then Jesus poses the question, which of the two did his father's will? Now, you can answer, but let's take a look at what Jesus said. The people answered the first. Jesus said, okay, so before I get to the next part of this, I just want to say Jesus affirmed that that was the correct answer. So the son who at first said no, but then changed his mind and went out and did it, ultimately did the father's will. The one who said, "Yes, sir," but didn't do it. And again, we don't know what happened in the case of the second son. When he said no, when he said yes, maybe he sincerely meant to do it, but he too changed his mind and decided, "No, I thought about it, I don't want to do this. I have something else that I want to do." Or with the second son, it's possible he never intended to go, but he was just kind of yesing his father, saying, "Oh, yeah, I'll do it," and never had any intention to do it, just wanting to get rid of his father. But the one who did the will of the father was the one who at first said no, but changed his mind and went. So what we can get out of this story is that our words are important, but not as important as our actions. Ultimately, what matters is our actions, not our words. You know, of course, words can be important too. But if, for instance, we're going to church, we're praying all of our prayers, but when we're outside of the church building, we're involved in all kinds of immoral activity, we have a foul mouth, we're acting in an unjust way, you know, we're just jerks, but yet we think we're justified because we go to church and say our prayers, we are not doing the will of the Father. And I think that's the message that Jesus has for us today. This idea that in order to really love God, in order to really do his will, it takes more than just going through the motions. And this is why the chief priests, the elders, the religious leaders of the time during our Lord's lifetime, they went ballistic when they heard talk like this, because these guys oftentimes were literally just going through the motions. They said they were serving God, but they were really looking for the adoration and the praise of the people. You know, they wanted to look good to other people. So a lot of times they were just going through the motions. And Jesus, he would always be able to sniff that out. And you'll see this a lot in the Gospels. And he would challenge them. So let me continue with this. And Jesus said, they answered the first, and Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you." That line right there, that sentence bugs the heck out of me, and it always has. I don't like that. Tax collectors and prostitutes. You know, tax collectors are thought of, essentially, in our Lord's time, as being criminals. They were taking advantage of the people. They would collect taxes on behalf of the Roman government, and they would skim money off the top. So they were corrupt, and they were really looked down upon by the people. And prostitutes, well, I don't have to explain what prostitutes do, but these are two groups of people who are generally not thought of very highly by anybody. They're looked down upon. And Jesus said, these people, these sinners, they're getting to heaven before you are. Before you are. Now remember, he's talking to the religious leaders. Can you imagine? They didn't like Jesus to start with. Now he's really shaking things up. And he's saying these sinners who are breaking all the laws, they're getting to heaven before you are. And then he states, when John came, he's talking about John the Baptist, in the way to you, in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him. See, what's happening here is in that case of, and the way these stories tie together, the story and the explanation, I should say, in that case of the story Jesus told about the two sons, the one who said no, he's the tax collector and the prostitute. He said no, because maybe he really meant no. He was doing the wrong thing. But then he changed his mind. He repented. He had that internal and external change. That's what repentance is. It's an internal turning away from sin. And it internally, it flows out externally as well. So he realized, I'm doing something wrong. I'm going to turn away from sin and do the right thing. And what Jesus is saying, you know, he would often use exaggeration. Sometimes it's called hyperbole, right? And because he wanted to really get the attention of his listeners. And he said, tax collectors and sinners, they listened to John the Baptist. And what did John the Baptist say? We've been hearing it a lot during Advent. Repent. Because the Messiah is coming. The Lamb of God, he's coming. And he's saying that the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they listened to that call to repent. Not all of them, but obviously some of them did. They were humble enough to listen and to recognize that they got flaws and to repent and turn to Jesus. And therefore, they're making it into God's kingdom before those who are going through the motions, who are showing up at the synagogue, who are saying all the right things, but who aren't living it, right? So the takeaway, this is what I think, this is why this is such a great message. Now, obviously, that's a really disturbing message. Tax collectors and sinners, and tax collectors and prostitutes, sinners, are getting to heaven before me. Wait a minute. I go to church. I go to church every day, maybe. I pray, I read my Bible, I give money to charity. I'm a Christian. You're telling me sinners can make it to heaven before I can? Yep, it's possible. Now, what you got to understand is Jesus is not praising their sin. He's praising their repentance. And that's what Advent is all about. It's a time for us to empty ourselves of the junk, of the selfishness, of all the things that crowd God out of our lives, to empty that out and make room for Jesus to welcome him. That's what Advent is all about. And what can happen, and see, this is the danger. This is what I said in my email, and I really mean this. And I've run into this a lot. I've done it. And I wish I could say I don't do it anymore, but I still do it. And it drives me crazy. I have, over the course of my relationship with Jesus, my walk with the Lord, if you want to call it that, I have often looked down on other people. the tax collectors and prostitutes, right? And said that, well, they really don't get it, those people. They don't get it. I'm glad I get it. And I start feeling pretty good about myself. You know? And maybe I'll put some posts on Facebook attacking these people. While at the same time, all I'm doing is spewing negative information and venom. Right? What am I doing? I'm feeling good about myself because I'm condemning them. Now, I want you to listen to me. Please listen to me. I am not saying that we should condone sin. We absolutely should not condone sin. Jesus doesn't. But what Jesus says is this. Be careful that you don't become self-righteous. Be careful that you're not so busy focusing on other people's sinfulness that you don't look at yourself. See, the danger of a gospel like this, or some of these gospel passages, is we can apply them to other people and not to ourselves. We can focus so much, and this is really dangerous, and this is why we have to realize that when Jesus speaks to us through the gospel, it's not a historical document. It is, but it isn't. This is him. This is a living, breathing person. This is Jesus speaking to us. Because we could look at this gospel and say, see, this proves that the religious leaders of the time, of our Lord's time, they were jerks. They were self-righteous jerks. And all they were doing was taking care of themselves. And we can look at this. Now listen, because we do this. We point to the leaders of the church and say, see, they're just like these hypocrites. They are hypocrites. They're a bunch of hypocritical losers. And they should be ashamed of themselves. So therefore, I'm going to go condemn them. I'm going to go put it out on Facebook and on Twitter. The leaders of the church, call them out by name, and politicians. Where do we fit into this message? And I'm telling you, I fall into this trap a lot more than I would like to admit. This message is for me, and it's for you. And it's painful, isn't it? Because what Jesus is telling us is be careful. Don't think too highly of yourself. The only reason any of us is able to avoid sin is because of grace. Because of grace, we're able to cooperate with that grace. Because if it wasn't for the grace, we wouldn't be able to do it. And avoid sin and do the Father's will. But rather than criticize everybody else, which just drives us crazy, right? I mean, it's a big source of stress. Looking, because there is crazy stuff going on in the world. I know that. I'd be in denial if I said there wasn't. But instead of pointing fingers, what about if I look at myself and saying, during this Advent, how can I be a positive influence and not worry about other people? Because the best way to evangelize is by setting a good example. And if I let the Holy Spirit work in me, as I said at the beginning, his job is to transform me into another Christ so that when people see me, they see Jesus. Now, again, it doesn't happen overnight for the most part. It's a gradual process. But come Christmas Day, if I'm taking it seriously to become more like Christ and asking the Holy Spirit to help and then cooperating with the Holy Spirit, you know, I got free will, so I can choose to cooperate or not with the Holy Spirit, then I can look more like Christ by Christmas Day than I did on the first Sunday of Advent. How much more? Well, that's up to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it can't exactly be measured. But it is possible. Now, while there is a time and a place to criticize immoral behavior, you see somebody doing something wrong, maybe if it's your kids or a spouse or a sibling or a good friend, yeah, there's a time for you to say, I think what you're doing is wrong. But our life should consist less of that, pointing out the faults of others, and more of looking internally and trying to imitate Jesus. And I think if we do that, if we work on that, we're not only going to have a great Advent, but we're going to be a lot more peaceful, and we're going to be able to lead others to Christ. Instead of being negative and criticizing all that we see wrong, and again, I see it too. I know that there's stuff that's wrong out there. What if I put positive messages out? And I'm targeting social media, because that's outrageous what's happening there. There are some people that I see, and I've got a lot of very dedicated Christians on my Facebook that I'm friends with on Facebook. Sometimes I see some people, there is just nothing positive they put out there. There's no sharing of the gospel. It's all criticizing of people who are not doing that. What a difference we can make if we go out there and be a light shining in the darkness. Go be Jesus to the world, you know? And the plus side is, not only are you doing the Father's will, but you're going to feel a whole lot better. So that's my message today. And again, don't shoot the messenger. It comes from Jesus. And it shakes me up every time I hear that gospel. But it's something that I am going to work on, because I need to work on that. And something that you might want to consider as well. We can make this world a whole lot better just by going out and being Jesus, all right? And with the help of the Holy Spirit, that is possible. Hey, thanks for listening. Don't forget Sunrise Morning Show tomorrow, 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. God willing, I'll be back here on Following the Truth. I hope you'll be able to join me. In the meantime, if you need anything, gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Now remember, I tell you this every day, and I mean it. I pray for you every day. If you'd be so kind as to pray for me, I would be very, very appreciative of that. Have a wonderful night. God bless you, and I will talk to you next time.